Dear friends in Christ, it's a privilege to be with you again this morning and share the Word of God with you, and I bring you greetings from your fellow Christians at Peace Through Christ in Middleton, Wisconsin. Our message from God's Word today is from Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 10, and we consider the theme, the waypoints of wisdom. We read from God's Word. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She has prepared her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has already set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest point in the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To someone who lacks sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Abandon your naive ways and live. Travel the road to understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults, and whoever warns a wicked person invites abuse. Do not warn a mocker, or he will hate you. Warn a wise person, and he will love you. Give advice to a wise person, and he will become even wiser. Teach a righteous person, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is the Word of God before us this morning. It's certainly good to be back in Washington again. And as we drove in last evening, we could see in the clear day Mount Rainier and some of the other beautiful things on the horizon. And when we lived in Washington, one of our favorite activities and one of the things we missed most was hiking. I'm sure you all know that because of the proximity of the forests and the mountains, you can find yourself in some beautiful areas around here without a lot of trouble. But you can also find yourself in some difficult spots as well. It's always important when you're going out to plan ahead, pack enough provisions, enough water, enough safety supplies. At our hotel last night, I was looking at the rack of attractions in the area, and they had a little pamphlet on hiking, and I looked at that, and the first thing on it was the top 10 things you need to bring when you're hiking. Safety supplies, a compass, a phone, water, snacks, and so on. Sometimes when you get out in life, you need help. You find yourself in difficult positions. I remember one hike that we did here in Washington. It was notorious for being a hike where people needed to be rescued because it was easy to stray from the trail. And you'd find yourself maybe in the thick of the forest and you kind of lose your path and not know where to go. People would wander off and not know where they were and would have to call in help. And there was a sign at the beginning of the hike that warned you, be careful, pay attention to where you're going. And on this hike, they had these little white diamonds that they would nail to the tops of certain trees so that you could chart your way along the trail. So you could make sure you knew you were going along the right path. They were called waypoints. National Geographic defines a waypoint as a reference point that helps us know where we are and where we're going. Essentially, a waypoint is anything that helps you stay on the right path. The value of waypoints doesn't just apply to the wilderness or to hiking either. There are many different elements of life where we need the same gift. There are critical moments in life where one decision can lead us down one path versus another, one direction versus another. Day-to-day choices that seem to be simple and minuscule in the moment can turn out to be life-changing. Sometimes because of the busyness of life, the hustle and bustle, we lose our way. Wouldn't it be nice in life to have a little white diamond marker that would show us the right path in every decision? Something where we wouldn't have to struggle with the decision, but we would know this is God's way. This is my path. In a sense, that's what God provides for us in His Word. In many ways, God's Word acts like a map to guide our way. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's Word is certainly much more than this, too. It's more than just a guidebook to try to do the right thing in life. It is the wisdom of God to salvation as well. But in our text from Proverbs for today, Solomon describes the pursuit of wisdom in very much the same way. He speaks about it as a path that one travels on. In these words, Solomon gives us different waypoints, different pieces of advice about true godly wisdom that help ensure that we can follow that path ourselves. The first waypoint that we see in our text is that God's wisdom is open to everyone. People typically think of spiritual wisdom or Christian biblical wisdom as something that is far beyond the average individual, something that you need to be a theologian to really understand. You need to be a lifelong scholar to really know the wisdom of God. And even then, are you sure that you're following it correctly? But in reality, Solomon describes wisdom as a generous host who offers her blessings to everyone. In fact, Solomon even points out the foolish and the naive, the simple. God's wisdom extends even to those individuals, which, if we're honest about our lives, fit our description very well as well. People often miss this waypoint of God's wisdom because they take the world's wisdom and apply it to God's truth. People think that God's wisdom must be like the way the world practices wisdom, that you have to be rich, you have to be influential, you have to be popular in order to gain wisdom. Those who are deemed foolish or ignorant or naive are looked down upon in the eyes of the world as lesser than, not good enough for God. Man's wisdom is often used to elevate man's pride, not to give glory to God. But God's wisdom is completely different. He wants to share his wisdom with all. He wants all people to partake of it and to receive its blessings, like being invited to a lavish banquet. As we consider the fact that God's wisdom is open to all, we recognize the differences between God's wisdom and the wisdom of the world. One thing we can say about Solomon's words is that the kind of wisdom he's describing is not just wisdom to do things in our everyday lives or to navigate life, but God's wisdom is about his work of salvation for sinners. As Solomon describes wisdom, he's always talking about this wisdom of faith, the wisdom that leads us to trust God, to rely on him, especially for the problem of sin. At the very beginning of Proverbs, Solomon introduced this point well, where he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but stubborn fools despise wisdom and discipline." He said, "My son, if sinners lure you, do not go with them. Do not walk along the road with them. Do not set your foot on their path." From the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, the type of wisdom that Solomon had been describing is the wisdom to stay away from sin, to avoid it in our lives, but also the gifts, the blessings, and the grace that God gives us in Christ to forgive us of our sins. This is truly the greatest treasure that anyone can possess. If we're looking for ways to help us navigate life, if we want to make sure we know we're on the right path, when we encounter difficult decisions and trials in life, certainly the gospel of Jesus, the wisdom of salvation for our souls, is going to lead the way. The second waypoint that Solomon mentions in our text is that godly wisdom is offered to all, but it's a path that's traveled by few. We see this truth come out in the application given about wisdom. Solomon moves on from the personification of wisdom to explaining why people seldom use it and receive it. Solomon's example is that wisdom comes through speaking and listening. God has given us our words as a way to impart wisdom to others. And when we think of the greatest of wisdom being the message of Christ our Savior, that's imparted to us through the gospel word and message. But sadly, our words are all too often laced with sin and filth. There's a reason James, in his letter, devotes an entire chapter to the dangers of the human tongue, calling it an unruly evil, something that's untamable, something that sets the world ablaze. As you read Solomon's words here, think about your own life. How have you used your words? How have the words that you've spoken shown the wisdom in Christ or given that blessing and gift to others? On countless numbers of occasions, we've become the fool who has used his words poorly, ignorantly, selfishly. Sometimes we're on the other end, though, too, right? Where we receive that ridicule and abuse from others through their words and their speech, the mocking, the persecution, the disdain for following God's ways and not following the ways of the world around us. The second waypoint shows us that if there's a trend in life that the world's going after, it's probably not the path of God's wisdom. There's a reason Jesus said that the path to heaven is like a narrow path and the path to hell is wide. It's not always easy to use our words and our speech in a God-pleasing way. It's not always easy to use those things to elevate the wisdom of God and not our own pride and our own self-proclaimed wisdom. The ways of sin will always make us feel more attached to the world. They'll always make us feel more comfortable with the world. They'll always be easier to make us feel like we're fitting in with everyone else. It'll always appear more convenient to follow the ways of sin. In fact, when it comes to the words that we use, isn't it one of the most difficult things in life to take sinful and harmful words back with an apology? Isn't one of the most vulnerable moments of life to admit before someone that we care about, maybe someone that we respect or cherish, that we said the wrong thing, that we were foolish and naive, that we need forgiveness? It's truly one of the hardest things to do in life, but that's one of those moments of decision in life, isn't it? Where we either follow the path of God's wisdom or we follow the ways of the world's wisdom. And that moment to confess before one another and before God, as we did this morning, is one of the most important moments for our lives as well, because it's an opportunity to show where our faith really is. Where is our trust directed? And most importantly, it's an opportunity to receive the greatest gift that God gives, the forgiveness of our sins. If you never needed a rebuke or a word of admonition from one, or if you never stumbled in your own pride, then you wouldn't need God's forgiveness. God's wisdom is beautiful because though it often comes through correction and rebuke, it doesn't leave us with a negative outcome. It restores us in a way that God only can. In a world that's filled with sin, in a world where mankind tries to prop up their own righteousness and morality to stand before God and to show themselves to be right, the only thing that can really heal the wounds that we have in our hearts is the forgiveness of our sins in Christ. And God's wisdom directs us time after time to that very gift. In our scripture reading from Colossians, it talked about letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, in all wisdom. And moved on to applying that to how we speak with one another and how we use our words as Christians. When we think about using God's word today and staying on the waypoints of wisdom through his truth, we ask that he would help us be ready and willing not only to speak, but also to listen. That might be the hardest thing when it comes to following the waypoints of God's wisdom. It often comes by just stepping back from life and taking time to listen. You know, listening is very much like faith, too. For one thing, faith and listening are incredibly simple. You literally don't have to do anything in each of them. Faith involves simple trust. The power is all with the Holy Spirit. Listening is just hearing what's going on. You don't even have to work in your ears to do it. Second, from the perspective of effort, both listening and faith rely on someone outside of ourselves. Faith relies on God, built on the work of Jesus our Savior, given to us day after day through the Holy Spirit working through the gospel and word and sacrament. Listening is dependent on someone else talking. If no one ever talks, you can't listen. And third, in both listening and faith, if we stay out of the way, they'll happen naturally. When we think about God's wisdom from Proverbs and the emphasis that Solomon puts on listening, whether you share your word of wisdom with others or you receive it from someone else, may God lead us to appreciate the gift of listening to his word. It's good to have Christian friends, mentors, and peers that can share the word of God with us and the fellowship that we share. But how much more important it is for you to use the word of God in your life. To listen to the words of your Creator and Redeemer who fashioned your life long before you came into this world and who's taken care of your eternal heritage in heaven. What a wonderful and blessed opportunity we have day by day in our lives to go and listen to the words of wisdom from God our Savior. As Solomon describes someone walking this path in God's wisdom, he emphasized how we use our words and how we listen. May the Holy Spirit lead us to appreciate those waypoints in our lives today and lead us to grow in our faith so that we can better understand how to use those as blessings to keep us on God's path moving forward. And at the very end of our text, Solomon reminds us what it all comes back to in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. May God always remind us of what true wisdom leads us to. It leads us to the foot of the cross of our Savior, who has taken away all those foolish and sinful moments when we've strayed from God's path. It leads us back not to the path of elevating our pride by the world's ways of so-called wisdom, but to go back to the fear of the Lord, to respect and trust who our God is and what he's done for us. If you pay attention in your Christian walk, you'll find that these waypoints are not just in the book of Proverbs, but God has sprinkled them in his word all throughout. Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul warned the Colossians, a chapter before our scripture reading, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And as we read in our reading, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Just like a tough hike, it can be easy to stray and lose our way from God's path of wisdom. May we heed these waypoints in his word. May we step back from our lives and listen to the words of the Holy Spirit to guide and to strengthen us. And may God keep us coming back again and again to our Savior's cross, where the joy and blessing of forgiveness of sins is found. As God leads us on this journey as we walk toward our home in heaven, may he keep you safe and blessed in your Savior's grace. Amen. Please rise.